and welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live right here from our studios, and we'll be with you live for the next hour. We hope that you'll be able to join us on our Friday morning broadcast of the Grace Hour. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. And when those phone lines are open, we hope that you'll join us. We hope that you'll pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us with your comments, questions, your testimonies, counseling needs, prayer requests. It's been a great week here in the Grace Hour. We've talked about a number of different themes and issues in relationship to leadership within the church, how God calls leaders. First of all, he redeems them, calls them, raises them up, and then he sends them out. And today, we'll be focusing on the last part of that theme and subject matter, which is being sent out. Today's Grace Hour broadcast will focus on what it means to be commissioned for the harvest. We hope that you know that there is indeed a harvest that is presently going on, has been going on now, since Christ went to the cross and was raised again from the dead. And God has been harvesting souls ever since and continues to do so today and wants to employ you in that harvest. Well, friends, when the phone lines are open, you can join us by dialing one of the following numbers, toll-free in all of the United States, together with Canada, all of North America. That toll-free number is 800-338-7060. Once again, toll-free, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in the Baltimore area for all of you that are joining us locally, 410-483-3700. And I want to welcome everyone on gracehour.org, live and online, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Spotify, iHeart Music. I mean, come on, there's so many different platforms now that you can reach us here at the Grace Hour on. And if you can't listen to us live, don't forget, you can archive the broadcasts. All of them will be saved for you to listen to when you have the opportunity. But for those of you that are with us live today, and a number of you are joining us already, we appreciate that. We hope to hear from you, because this has been just an enlightening theme this week here in the Grace Hour. And the commission to reach the harvest fields, which Jesus said are ripe and white and ready to harvest, well, again, that responsibility and that opportunity and great privilege is before all of us. It's beautifully outlined in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, and of course in the Gospel of Luke as well. And we are excited about doing just that. I think that's what the Grace Hour has been all about over its many decades of broadcasting live, and that is to take the gospel of the grace of God to those fields that are white and ready to harvest. And maybe, friends, there are people in your sphere of influence that are ready to be harvested as well. Sometimes we don't see the work of God going on in people's lives, but we understand that indeed it is, and it's happening. And God may use us to sow the seed, God may use us to water that seed, and God may use us to reap a harvest. Whatever the case may be, may we find ourselves faithful in that which God has called us to do, and then, of course, we will see the great, great results of reaping a harvest of souls for Christ. Here to share with us on today's theme, on this Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour, Pastor Schibelli.
Good morning. See, that keeps changing on us.
I know.
So got to remember. I think that before I begin, when I look at Matthew 28, I remember 1977, I heard a message on the radio. And I was a Christian, but really had very little understanding of the Bible, the church, or anything like that. And I heard somebody on a program called Telephone Time, which I think was preludes to Grace Hour. And I ended up tracing the telephone call to a certain place in Massachusetts. And then my brother and I both went there. And that was kind of the beginning for us of understanding this whole subject of the harvest, you know. Even after I got saved, I remember, Pastor Love, going out on the streets and having a Bible and talking to people about Christ, but I didn't know anything at all. I didn't even know what I was talking about. I just knew that God had changed me. And so commissioned for the harvest. And if you look at Matthew 28, and I like how the original language speaks here, and he came and spake unto them. Actually, it says he came and broke their silence. It was a breaking of the silence. In other words, an interruption of what was going on. Maybe they were just kind of sitting there waiting. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I just want to stop with go you. You go. You go. Okay? I've received all power, all authority that's given unto me in heaven and in earth. I mean, the second word is very important. We would say, of course, we understand that Jesus Christ has power in heaven. All right? We would understand that being God the Son, the God-man. But on earth, too, I wonder if people really believe that. And if they really believe that, they would really be a part of this incredible harvest commissioned by God for the harvest. And so he says that. He says to them to go. Not just G-O, go and stop, but actually the word translates in its language, going. It's a continual process to continue to keep going. Not just go stop, but going. And as we're going, we're also promoting and discipling people in that commission for the harvest to also become men and women who would also go. Going, commissioned for the harvest. A number of chapters can be read to study this really thoroughly. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is one of them. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Luke 24, 47 through the end of the chapter. John 20 and 21. John 20 talks about, so send I you. So send I you. And then John 21, commissioning Peter. And the whole chapter really being about Peter. Then we have Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, when he speaks about authority and power again. Then we see this continuing on in Acts chapter 4 and 5 in Jerusalem. Then Acts chapter 8, Philip into Samaria. Acts chapter 9, Paul converted and on his way to preach in the synagogue in the place called Damascus. Acts chapter 10 and 11, the gospel given to Peter for Cornelius. Acts chapter 13 and 14 into Galatia. Acts chapter 16 and 17 into Greece, into Corinth, and Thessaloniki, city of Thessalonians. Then Acts chapter 18 and 19, continuing on in Greece and into Asia. And it's really incredible. Then Acts 27, onward to Rome. So we see that commission for the harvest, that God has given us an authoritative commission, that all the authority that is in Jesus Christ himself and in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is given to the church and to individual Christians so that they might be involved in an incredible harvest that is taking place even now today in our present world that we live in. So, and that really means, as far as I was thinking today, what it means to go into the beyond. We had a message this morning in India by Zoom about the grace beyond. And sometimes people get, maybe they live in fear or anxiety or doubt because they think about that which is beyond. They think about the harvest and they don't know what's going to take place? What's going to happen to me? Will people be receptive? Will they have open hearts or will they have closed hearts? Will the doors be open? What will it be like if I was to go into a neighborhood or house to house or into the city of Baltimore or into Maryland or into some other part of the United States or into some part of the world, whether it be Europe, Eastern Europe, Asia, Africa, China, Russia, South America, Central America, Canada, wherever it might be, Australia, what will take place? And so as they think about the harvest, too often they become at times introspective and start to look at themselves or even what they think is their provision and what they think their ability is. And they really seem to put on the back burner the person of Jesus Christ, his authority, his power, his ability, and to see people's lives changed and transformed. There was a great missionary movement many years ago in America called the Student Volunteer Movement, where I think 20,000 young people went to, I think they said, three different places were their targets: Africa, Asia, and America. And it was called the Student Volunteer Movement, started by J.R. Mott. And what a harvest. What a harvest. These young people, mostly young people, probably 90% young people went. And they went to these different locations around the world, and they just began to be people who would be speaking about the gospel and really seeing a great harvest coming in. And really, this is key. As individuals and as churches, do we consider the harvest is great, the harvest is white, it's ready for people to come to? Rather than looking at situations and circumstances and politics and what they think are the obstacles. I mean, I love what Caleb said in Numbers 13 and 14 and Joshua 14, give me this mountain. He didn't look at the mountain, you know, as an obstacle. He looked at the mountain as an opportunity to really see and trust God for his faith in the situation. So what a world we have. What a place for a harvest. I think at 12:30 today we'll be going out and evangelizing. We changed it from because of the change in grace hour, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock we'll be going out evangelizing and going on a harvest. You can have a harvest in your neighborhood, a harvest right next door to you, a harvest in a part of the city, a harvest in this state, a harvest in America. And really, this is so key. I wonder, I read statistics one time, I was praying they were not true. They would say that as far as evangelical harvests are concerned, only 10% of all churches are engaged in any kind of effort to bring the message of the gospel to people. They're just not involved in the harvest. I don't know what they're harvesting. Maybe they're harvesting money. Maybe they're harvesting a reputation. Maybe they're harvesting fear, anxiety, human reason, but not involved in this incredible harvest. And why is it a great harvest? Because we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the finished work, the great work that he's done, the greatest person that there ever was, the God-man, and the greatest work that's ever been done. And this is why we are so much motivated to be involved in the harvest. It's not about how people react. It's not about whether they even want it or not. What does that mean? I remember the first time I went to Africa, somebody told me, you should go back to America. Like, there's enough problems in America. You don't need to be here. I thought to myself, this is nothing more than a hindering spirit. That's all it was a hindering spirit. But we refuse to be hindered. We're involved with the harvest. Churches out there, if you're listening, you go to a church and they have no harvesting at all. There is no evangelical organizational program that's taking place. And I don't mean to use the word program, but there's no desire to reach the gospel. I really wonder what a person would be doing in a church like that. The church has been given a commission to go out and to bring the gospel to people, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's God's harvest. So we thank you today, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would use Grace Hour to continue to be a place where the harvest is proclaimed and spoken about, that you would be using this program to harvest souls into the kingdom of his dear son. Bless our time today. Bring callers in from everywhere. How about India calling? You're expecting a great conference soon. How about Europe? How about Eastern Europe? Anybody in Africa listening? Anybody in Essex? Anybody in Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, anybody anywhere, give us a call. Kind of tune in on this subject, the harvest. Talk about it. Bring your comments concerning it. We thank you. Bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we're just getting started, and we want to invite you to join us. You can participate in the conversation with a comment or a question, a testimony. If you have a counseling need, we can assist you in any way. Don't hesitate. Pick up that phone. You have a prayer request that you'd like the body of Christ to pray for together with you. Well, imagine hundreds, if not thousands, around the globe praying for whatever your needs might be. Join us. It's quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers. The toll-free number is 800-338-7060. And the local number, if you're in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Leaders that have been saved, redeemed, raised up, and ultimately
sent.
Sent.
That's what happened. You know, I once read a message by Charles Spurgeon, and he said God took the two best men from Antioch and sent them. He would say, wait a minute. How can Saul of Tarsus or Paul the apostle and Barnabas go out? I mean, they're the church leaders. You see in Acts 13. It's five men there, you know. And it's like, what could happen? Because it was just God's perfect plan to send them. So,
amen. We have a number of people that are already tuning in and listening. Madeline Johnson says, good morning, pastors. Thank you, Madeline. Great to see you joining us on a regular basis. Carol Massengill, dear sister, she says, yep, learning to live by every word of God. Ilhan says, amen. And Tess writes and says, hello, pastors from Sweden. I'm in a teaching ministry in the Swedish Baptist Church. Thanks be to the Lord God. All of my Sunday school pupils got saved. How do you know you're called by God to serve in another church? I was called and asked by an English Baptist church here to teach the youth, to also be a part of the worship team ministry. I got a vision last month to teach the youth about purity. I'm in a dilemma now, having two congregations for the last 3 months. Thank you for your counsel or your advice, as, of course, GGWO is still my home base since 2005, after meeting and talking with Pastor Stevens in the year 2007. So I guess what Tess is asking us is I'm kind of involved in our ministry, but at the same time in this English Baptist church. Any words of wisdom for her, Pastor Schiavelli?
Be led by God.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know. It's kind of hard for us to understand everybody's situations. You know, maybe it's something that's being said, and we understand what you're saying, but, you know, to know all the circumstances. But I think you just need to be led by the Holy Spirit. That is so key, so important, led by the Holy Spirit, and it will never contradict the Word of God.
That's right.
I think without a doubt, you know, and you know, whether you should be in one or the other, that's between you and God to make that decision, or whether you should continue to be a part of both of them. I don't know the type of involvement, how many hours, what it takes as far as your schedule is concerned and all of that. But just be led by God. Pray, be led by God.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because it's almost like, how can you, in one sense, how can you do both? It would be kind of like someone suggesting to you and I that we could get involved in two different churches. How could we do that? I don't think we could.
No.
Because we'd be, you know, torn apart. At the seams, so to speak, in the sense that we would be, you know, wanting to give our all in this one area, but then wanting to give our all in another area. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what believers can do is they can take on too much responsibility, and in the process of doing so can kind of beat themselves up physically and find themselves unable to do anything.
Yeah.
So got to be careful.
God wants us to be precise, and maybe what's going on with you is for a season, but maybe there comes a point where you make a decision. This is my local church.
Yeah.
And she's in Sweden.
Yes, Malmo, Sweden.
And we have churches there.
We do.
Yeah, and so she's part of that church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we can certainly we can be a part of a ministry and then maybe like visit another place.
Sure.
Or help them out in some way.
Absolutely.
That's very possible, you know. So it depends upon the extent of that, you know.
Yeah.
If I find myself 20 hours, 30 hours here, 30 hours there, it can become a little bit difficult where I really am not a person that can really just give myself over to that which is God's perfect will.
I think if you have the attitude that says to God, look, not my will, but thy will be done, you'll be led.
You'll be led.
You'll be led. So we'll be praying together with you, Tess. Our phone lines are open, and we look forward to hearing from you. You know, you mentioned about that that movement, the student volunteer movement, 20,000 young people.
20,500.
20,500.
I made a mistake.
Okay. 20,500 yeah. young students. But here's my question. How about older people?
I don't know.
Can they go too?
Maybe they did go, but this was like just seen as the student volunteer movement at that particular time. I'm sure older people went too.
Yeah.
But as far as this was a movement among students,
yeah.
young people, students, you know, and they went everywhere.
Yeah.
And some of them became really like such notorieties in the kingdom of God. J.R. Mott, C.T. Studd, C.T. Studd's brothers and whatnot, and a number of them were involved with that. And there's a great result that's come of that. Wouldn't we like to see something like that today?
Yeah.
That would be something else today.
I think sometimes we have this mindset that, yes, you know, missions, you've got to have youth, you've got to have energy, you've got to have, you know, endurance. And then we sometimes think, well, you know, that older people don't seem to have those characteristics or qualities. But the fact is, you know, older people can go to the mission field,
sure.
can't they?
Sure, absolutely. Look at the Armands.
This is a couple in our ministry
yes.
that have gone to Africa.
In their 70s.
In their 70s yeah. and 80s.
Yeah.
Riding bicycles, right?
Unbelievable. I don't even want to try a bicycle, let alone them riding bicycles. But yes, and I think that's very true. That's very true. That I think Caleb was 85 when he said, give me this mountain. And that means that, yes, because with God, age, you know, there's a lot of wisdom that can be given. Maybe they don't have the strength or the ability, maybe less than a younger person, but maybe their wisdom. It's kind of like you could pass the puck up the ice, and that would be very quick, or you could skate yourself all the way. See, you know, passing the puck would be like the wisdom.
There you go.
The wisdom that a hockey player would have, that would be that puck being passed is going to be going a lot faster than he himself trying to go all the way down the ice, you know.
Amen.
So a lot of wisdom in people that are somewhat aged. They have a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience from what they've done and what they've seen and what they've been through. And they could save a lot of young people a lot of time being at times wasted, you know, and throwing all kinds of efforts into things that really don't matter.
Mm, yeah. And I think that we have to make that evaluation in our lives. You know, am I immersing myself and all of my resources into something that doesn't matter?
Right, right.
You know, I read the story about one English brother, and I wish I could recall his name, Pastor Shabelli, because I know that you probably know who it is. But he was a fellow student with this man who made a decision that he was going to go to the mission field and to give his life for Christ and for those that he was ministering to. And, of course, mm-hmm. Both of these men came to the end of their lives, and this one man was brought back from overseas. He passed away. But the crowds that came to remember him and to celebrate mm-hmm. his life, he said that he witnessed that, and he said, I am older. I have lived my life the way I wanted to live my life, and I am alone. And when he looked at the celebration that happened for this missionary that returned home,
mm-hmm.
he came to this conclusion. He says, I chose the wrong life.
Wow.
It was a really powerful testimony yeah. because I think sometimes we can do that. I think we can think we're on the right track, and we think that we're doing the best that we could do for ourselves, only to discover that maybe at the end of our lives, you know, maybe I didn't choose the right life.
That's why we need input from people that will you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. So we need input pastorally from people in the church and whatnot. We need a lot of input so that we don't end up like looking back and saying, well, what did I do with my life? What actually took place? What was it all about, you know? And yeah, that's a sad and tragic thing at the end of his life, realizing that I just wasted all this time.
Yeah. His words, I chose the wrong life.
I chose the wrong life,
you know,
yeah.
Because I think when the other gentleman chose the mission field, he thought to himself, oh, well, you know, where's that going to get you?
Yeah.
What's that going to do for you?
Yeah.
And yet he returned home to great celebration. People's hearts were broken because of what he accomplished on the mission field. And this other man said, well, I did my life. I lived my way. But he realized it was the wrong choice.
One had eternal fruit. The other one just lived a life.
You know? Yeah, with regrets.
With regrets.
Let's go to Pastor Stan Collins. Pardon me, joining us from Argentina. Pastor Stan, welcome to the Grace
Where
Hour.
Where is that?
Hey, well, you don't know where it is because you've never been down here, Pastor Shirelli.
Wow, that's challenging.
That sounds like an invitation to come to Argentina.
Is that happening this December?
Hey, let's do it. And I think we're going to do a couple countries in December, right?
Yes. I don't know whether I scheduled to go to Argentina. I don't remember. I have to relook at my schedule.
If it's not on there, like if I can sneak in, I'll put it on.
All right. Pastor Stan, we're glad you called so that you can bring Pastor Shirelli up to date on his schedule.
Well, we're just, you know, we're really I actually just got back into the house here after being out on the streets with, you know, with the gospel. Like this is the thing. Like we heard recently Pastor Schaller mention this in, I think it was in Luke 19, right? About the, you know, the parable. In Luke 19, you have like, I actually don't know the word in English, but it's like in Spanish, it's in the parable in Luke 19, he gives them minas. And in the one in Matthew 25, it's the same principle, but it's two different times. One is before Palm Sunday, and the other is a couple of days after Palm Sunday. And if Jesus is basically like telling a similar story with the same principle both times, so it must be important to him. And basically, what he's talking about is investment. You know, like I give you something. I give you something. And by the way, and you know, and the one in Matt, because it says in Luke 19 that, you know, it's right after, I think it's verse 10 where Jesus says, you know, like the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And then it says, I think it's verse 11, it says that they were thinking like he's going to go and come back right away and establish the kingdom right away. But in Matthew 25, he actually says, I'm looking for the verse here, but it says like a long time, like we'd come back after a long time. And here we go. It's like, you know, almost 2000 years now. And, but the key was, he says, okay, I'm giving you something. I'm going to come back, but it's going to be a while. But the reason it's not bad news, it's like it's good news. I give you something, and then there's going to be an evaluation later about what, not so much about like, you know, like how gifted you were, but just did you invest what I gave you, the gift that I gave you? Did you invest it? Did you have an expectation that actually you have something in your hand to give,
Like good stewardship, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't like one of the best ways we could describe life is it's a trust. God has entrusted us with something, and the day will come when he will ask us, how did you do with what I entrusted into your care?
And it's, I don't think that it's so much like, okay, because, you know, one guy invests and he gets this much back, and another guy invests and he gets that much back. But it doesn't seem like Jesus is like, you know, like, oh, you only got, you know, that much back. You know, the only time that he really says about you are like an evil, you are a wicked servant, is the one who doesn't invest at all. You know, it's not like, okay, how much result did I get? Like, you just throw it out there. And this is actually what makes sense out of our lives, and in just having like a real expectation that, you know, I got something that was from God. I know it's from God, and we can actually have a lot of joy, right, and be shining. We can be shining because we actually have a great expectation from the Lord for what we're doing. Mm.
Isn't it true that parable that you're referring to in Luke chapter 19, Jesus wasn't, as you said, he wasn't talking about the mismanagement of money, but to that one man who said, hey, I was constantly afraid of you. You're a stern heart. It was a misunderstanding of his heart.
Yes.
And when you understand God's heart, you're going to take full advantage of all of the opportunities that he gives you to share this glorious message with lost.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
Keep going. Keep going.
Thank you.
What's the next country?
I'm going to be in France. And
No. I mean the next target for South America.
I know what you mean.
You got another target?
We're going to Paraguay this summer. We're going to Paraguay this summer. I have a group of, I think, 13 or 14 young people that are going to be with me in Ecuador for like 2 weeks. Pastor Hadley's going to be there for the second week, and we're going to, you know, that I'm looking forward to that too. Bunch of the guys from Baltimore are going for that.
Yeah, that's, we've heard a lot about
Paraguay.
That. They're getting very excited about that trip to Ecuador.
Did you say Paraguay?
Yeah, Paraguay. Definitely this summer we're going to Paraguay. I've been there. It's a great place. It's hot. It's hot, but it's an awesome place. And we need to have a church there.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we love your heart to reach the lost, Pastor Stan, and in particular Latin America. God's given you that vision. And when we hear you call and we hear you talk about reaching these people, it stirs our hearts as well.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the ministry, like whatever ministry God calls you into, like in my case, you know, the Bible speaks greater grace, like this ministry that God called me into, then what does the ministry do? What does it help me? It gives me a platform. It helps me. That's all. It trains me, encourages me. Gives me a lot of, helps me to get what I need from God, and then helps me to see what I have in my hand from God, mm-hmm. right? So you guys and the visits, like the conferences, all of these things are hugely important to us. And Grace Hour, and you know, and all of, everything that all around the world, actually, even. These things are, by the way, we have a girl coming here, to be part of our missions team in Argentina from Montpellier, France.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's the kind of thing. And, you know, like we have other people, we have people coming from Baltimore. By the way, Argentina is absolutely open completely now. No, you don't need testing. You don't need a vaccine. You don't need anything. Just, you know, come and be part of the missions team.
Amen. And you mentioned you're going to France yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to be, they invited me over in Montpellier to do a mission seminar in Montpellier in a couple weeks. I'm going to be there.
Amazing. Well, great to hear from you. We love the vision. Thank you so much for seeing the fields white, all ready to harvest, and being such a part of it. It's essential, and we appreciate it so much.
Paraguay.
Thank you, Pastor Cervelli. thank you for always pushing in this direction. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stan.
God bless.
Thanks.
Phone lines are open. You can join us with a great call from Argentina, mm-hmm. South America, the work that's happening there. Pastor Stan Collins has he's got his fingerprints all over Latin America, doesn't he?
How about Jesus when he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few? Mm. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. And that should be a great prayer. That should be a motivation to pray in a local church. Somebody says, well, nobody's going, or we don't have any missionaries. Well, it would begin by praying. Praying to the Lord. Does the Lord love the harvest? Does he want us to be involved in the harvest? Absolutely, yes. So you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. See, it's not my harvest, okay? He does, he's the one we pray to. He's the one that does the sending and of the laborers. They're his laborers, and it's his harvest. It really is all-inclusive in Jesus Christ himself, you know?
Amen.
And it's just so important, so important. And you think about it, you think about what is the responsibility that we have as believers and as churches. And then we think about churches around the world. Do they understand this at all? I think the Korean church is one of the greatest examples of evangelism. I think they're in, I don't know how many countries, somebody mentioned it recently, but the missionaries from Korea are everywhere. You find them all over Africa. You find them all over Asia. They're everywhere. It's amazing. And somehow they got a hold of and a grasp on this idea of the harvest and missions. And they have gone forward with it. They didn't just talk the talk. They walked the walk.
You know, it's amazing to think Saul of Tarsus was converted. And after his conversion, and we read about it in the book of Acts, one of the first things he did is that he went to the synagogue and he preached.
Preached,
Christ.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned how you came to know the Lord, got saved, and you found yourself out on the streets, and you mm-hmm. wanted to share it. There's something about receiving God's nature, being born again, getting saved, and all of a sudden you just sense, I can't keep this to myself.
Right.
This message has to be shared, because if it can do for me what it's done, then it can do for others mm-hmm. the same that it's done for me. In other words, don't keep this message to yourself, because by keeping it to yourself, we could be closing the door on so many other people that
yes.
would that
yes.
need to hear this message.
Right.
Sometimes we think, as we look at people and maybe they're successful, maybe it looks like they've got life all together, they don't have the challenges, the difficulties, or the problems that we or some other people may be facing, we reach this false conclusion that maybe they don't need the gospel.
Right.
But everyone needs sure. the gospel.
Their life could be unraveling right before us. We wouldn't even know it, maybe.
Yeah. Just
right.
cluttered
Everyone.
By wealth, riches, success, mm-hmm. reputation. But all of that is so superficial. What's happening in their hearts?
Right. What's happening? There's the question.
I love the way Jesus saw the multitudes. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they needed to be saved, redeemed. Well, Tess got back to us and said, Pastors, thanks so much. It's true. I feel torn apart and tired. Sad to say. My church, wow. GGW World Church in Malmo, has moved to another city, maybe an hour drive by car. That happened 2 years ago. So she's
wow.
finding it difficult to get together with the
sure.
GGWO Church in Malmo. So, hey, God will lead you, Tess, honestly. And when he does lead you, the one sign that we can take away from his leading is peace.
Yes.
He'll give you peace.
And maybe you could ask the pastor about starting a Bible study where they move from. I mean, there must be people, maybe there's people that are part of the ministry that didn't move on with the ministry, and who knows what could take place in that particular situation.
Wasn't that Pastor Stevens? That was his pattern throughout the
yes.
years and during his ministry while he was with us, starting in Maine. But when he left Maine,
left something
he made
there.
Sure that there were local assemblies there. Moved to
Massachusetts.
When he left there, he made sure that there were local churches that were established. And then here to the Baltimore area, and we continue to do
yeah.
it today.
Yeah.
Pastor Schaller's vision to reach the state of Maryland and all
right.
of the surrounding cities, the mid-Atlantic coast, and the whole country for that matter.
So she could pray.
Yeah.
See if God wouldn't open a door right where she is.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, the phone lines are open, relatively quiet today. We'd love to hear from you. This is the time for you to pick up that phone and give us a call, 800-338 7060. Maybe you've got some stories from the mission field. Maybe you can tell us about how God called you and the experience that you've had in going to these harvest fields that are white and reaping a harvest. And we have witnessed over the years so many people. I mean, Pastor Shibeli, your experiences in the continent of Africa and the harvest of souls that has taken place there is incredible. Europe, with Pastor Schaller going to Finland in the early 1970s and then to Hungary in the 1990s, and then the impact that those mm-hmm. ministries have had throughout all of Eastern Europe, Western Europe. I mean, it's really been remarkable what we've seen this one local church undertake and accomplish by God's grace.
Being confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you, speaking of the church in Philippi, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And even the church of Ephesus, the seven churches of Asia, right?
Yeah.
Right there you see there's a harvest that's taking place. And what can happen? What can happen to a group of people or a church when they just have no outreach of any type? Nothing going on. You can see that instead of looking outward, they start turning inward. And all of a sudden, they begin to see things in other people's lives that maybe are not so spiritual or that don't kind of add up to them or don't kind of be in the same place where they are. And then they start having trouble inside the church. I believe looking out. And that happened right away in the book of Acts, didn't it? Right away. Jesus told them in Acts 1, 7, and 8, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And that was, just, you know, right after Pentecost, or right before Pentecost came. But he gave them that commission. And this is very, very vitally important for us. We have somebody from...
Oh, it's our good friend Dominique Di Piazza from Montpellier, France. Dominique, welcome.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello, Pastor. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Hey. Bonjour. You were expecting a call from Europe, so I jumped.
Amen. We're glad you did. How are you?
I jumped in the water. I'm doing okay. I'm doing really okay. And I would like to share something about evangelism. One thing that always motivates me, it's when I think that somebody took the time to invest in our lives and to share the gospel with me and my wife, mm-hmm. you know? And it helps me to be motivated and to share and to spread this word to others, to say, you have been happy that somebody took the time mm-hmm. and you have been saved, you know? And I think about this guy that was in the ministry that shared the gospel with us when I was in Paris. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, if this guy would have not shared the gospel, where would my wife have gone? You understand?
Yes.
And I know now she's with the Lord, but it's because somebody mm-hmm. took the time just to share the
yes.
gospel with us. So it helps me, and it is motivation for me to try my best to pass on the word. You understand?
Oh, yep. You certainly
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Good motivation.
Yeah.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Yeah, yeah.
Freely you have received, freely give. And that's exactly right. Somebody took the time to share the gospel with us, you know? And maybe at that particular point we're saying yes to it. Maybe we said no. Maybe we said, well, let me think about it. But we always go back to the point that somebody took the time to minister to me and to tell me about Jesus Christ. And really how vitally important that is. And why don't churches, can we answer this question? Maybe we don't want to, but why don't churches take the time? Why?
Excuse me. Recently, I received a call from New Caledonia, you know, it's very, very far, near Australia. Mm. And this guy said, oh, maybe you may not remember me, but you share the gospel with me in a train station in Bordeaux.
Wow.
And I got saved. And now I am in New Caledonia. I am a Christian. I go in a church.
Wow.
I'm saved. And he said, thank you very much. You know, I find this guy by through the social media, through Facebook. So sometimes God gives us some encouragement, you know, to see the fruit of our labor. I did not remember this guy because it was maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was really, really happy when this guy said, hey, I'm in New Caledonia. You may not remember me, but you share the gospel with me.
That's amazing.
And now I'm a Christian. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So it's good.
It says, the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let's
open our mouths and tell people about Christ. You know, as you were speaking, Dominique, I remember speaking to one of our pastors in the country of Poland. And it wasn't so long ago. He said, you know, when people first came here and shared the gospel with us, it changed our lives forever. And and then years later, that man said to him, oh, I regret coming to Poland. I regret, you know, giving 10, 15 years of my life to the mission field. And he said, how could he regret it? We came to know Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, whenever we are involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, that is not a waste of time or a waste of a life.
Yeah. So, my dear friend, so I hope meeting you at the convention.
Huh? Oh.
I can't wait.
That will be wonderful.
Seeing you in real.
Yes. Well, okay. You need to know, Dominique, you have been a great source of encouragement, not only to us here at the Grace Hour, but to all of our listeners around the world.
Amen.
Oh, and I would like to thank you for all your support and prayer for me and my wife. And really, I can't wait to seeing you. Okay?
Amen. We look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call.
I picked up my phone, and I did it, even though my English is
perfect.
Quite good.
It's quite good, actually.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
I love you both. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Wow, what a great brother.
I like this verse. He that goes forth bearing precious seed, think about that word, doubtless, will come again rejoicing.
Yeah, no question about it.
No question about it. See, and maybe when we're doing it, we don't think doubtless, but we go forward and doubtless shall come again. And by the way, many times it could be that the presentation of the gospel is so somebody can say no to it also. And God can hold them accountable one day and say, you heard the gospel and you rejected it. And it was said, you said no. So it's not just that we bring the gospel. It says to some it's life unto life, to some it's death unto death, right? Mm. I mean, it's like I bring it and maybe somebody receives it and that's glorious. And maybe somebody says no, but they had a chance to hear it.
Yeah. I read this story just recently, Pastor Schibelli, about a young man who, you know, he came to Christ. I don't know what his age was, but came to know the Lord, and he was baptized. And when he was baptized, there was someone who heard about his baptism, and it was someone that he worked with. It was someone that was in a position of leadership at the workplace. And he said to him, he said, I heard that you were baptized. That's wonderful. And he said, I'm a Christian too. And the man said to him, I've been working here for 20 years. And everybody esteemed this man. He had an exemplary life, but he never told anybody he was a Christian. Hmm. And he said to him, he said, you mean I could have come to Christ sooner than these past 20 years if I had only heard you tell me that you were a Christian? You know, we have to. Some people think, no, my life will speak. Hey, I'm sure that your life is an exemplary life, but if they don't hear about Jesus, they're not going to get saved. Nobody's going to come to Christ
exactly
because they look
is.
At your life and say, you're a good person. You got to preach Christ.
Yes.
Wow. Let's go back to the phones. Marilyn, is joining us live from Pittsfield.
Pittsfield.
Is it Marilyn or is it Melody?
No, it's Madeline.
Oh, hi, Madeline.
Hello.
God bless
Pastor
you.
Shabella.
Hello.
God bless you. Thank you for being faithful for what you do. And I was just calling again. It's just talking to people lately, like yesterday. I feel kind of bummed because I was felt led to talk to this lady outside a store and went over to talk to her. She was having a tough time walking and just said, how are you doing? And And I was like, oh, that's all good. And then I said, well, it's a beautiful day, though, and it's I'm blessed. And she goes, oh, you're blessed. I'm like, well, that's something. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got, no, the Lord loves me, and the Lord loves you. And she goes, what? Lord doesn't love me. He took my husband from me.
Wow.
And I felt so sad. I didn't get her name or anything. And so I came home, and I said, Bruce, can we please pray for this woman? And Bruce told me, it was so sweet. He said, you know, that was a divine appointment, you talking to her, because at least, you know, the seed was planted or something. But
sure.
Yeah, it's like we just don't know, you know, even where we're at. People are just, most people I've talked to lately are so hungry. So many young people are just so hungry, they're just blown away. And we forget. I think sometimes the day-to-day life, I know for myself, it's like, oh, I should be out there in the mission field. But, hey, we are the mission field where we're at, you know, too.
So. Well, don't evaluate, you know, it's very difficult to evaluate the response of somebody, like, you know, where... What they, right. you know, their response, we say, well, they were receptive, they weren't. Because maybe somebody sows and somebody, you know, waters, somebody reaps. So we don't have any idea. Maybe the sowing, maybe it does disrupt them a little bit. They get a little bit upset about it. That might be very good. They might be able to think about it later on. Usually when people react, I'm kind of thankful. You know why? Because I know I struck a nerve.
Yeah, and sometimes, Marilyn, isn't it true that it's wise to maybe carry some gospel tracts with us? Because we may not have the opportunity to continue the conversation, but if we can say, hey, listen, when you get an opportunity, take a look at this.
Yeah, usually I go after but she was just kind of walked away. She wasn't interested
no,
at all.
Hey,
but,
that may be,
like, what are you going to do,
that may be the seed, as Pastor Schiavelli just mentioned, that was planted in her life. Yeah. She'll remember you as the person that was blessed and say, maybe come back someday and say, explain to me how you're blessed.
Well, that's what I'm kind of praying. Somebody would talk to her. Maybe I'll see her again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was an older lady. She had a thick accent. I don't know if she was from Romania or what, but yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Awesome.
Well,
keep doing it. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. Gotta go. Very constrained. Thank you.
Wherever there are lost souls, Maryland, there's a mission field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Amen.
And we'll always have something to do. You know, God will never hand you an unemployment slip.
Ooh. That's good.
When it comes to the gospel.
That's good.
No, you can never be unemployed.
That's right.
You can get an unemployment slip from someplace where you work, but you know what? God will never hand out to anybody an unemployment slip. Doesn't happen. Nope. Is it pink slip they give you?
Yeah.
Pink slip? Nah, that's over. God doesn't hand those out. He wants to use everybody everywhere in even ways that they don't even understand what he's doing, what's going on there, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I worked for, you know, I worked in prisons about 10 years as a Christian. And, you know, you don't see a lot of results in prisons, you know? You see a lot of criminals. See a lot of people with bad reputations and trouble, but yet you know that God has touched certain people. You know that he's ministered to them. Who knows if on someone's deathbed they don't cry out to God because they heard the message. Maybe they lived their whole life and they're just rejecting. But you know what? There's one great equalizer in life. It's called death. And every single person is coming to that place. Yes, we as believers, we go beyond death into life eternal. But, you know, for people that are unbelievers, there's this unbelievable fear of death that keeps them in bondage. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. They can say they're not. They can say, I don't fear anything. You know what? One day it's over. And it's going to be over. And that's the way it is, you know. And deep in the back of their minds, they know that. Because they don't know of anybody that made it out. Right?
Yeah.
Millions and billions of people. Everybody died. It's appointed unto men who wants to die. And sometimes those situations are used to bring people to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So true.
Beautiful.
Marilyn, thank you. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you, sir. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Just a couple of minutes left in our broadcast today. It is interesting, you know, that people obviously contemplate the whole idea of death, Pastor Schiavelli. Some more than others. And some have reached that conclusion that, you know, when they die, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
No, it's not.
But there's got to be some that think, is it really over? Huh. Or are we just, you know, is it an end or are we just turning a corner?
And they, it goes through their minds, you know, and in old age, you know, there's no doubt. You know, a 20, 30-year-old person's not thinking about death.
No.
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 You start getting up in the 60s and 70s, right?
Yeah.
And whatnot, 80s, you start thinking about it because you know it's approaching.
Yeah.
It's approaching, you know? So.
Yeah, death is it's the equal opportunity. One death per person. Everybody yeah. gets one, right?
Everybody gets one.
It's an appointment. Well, isn't that Amen. Hebrews 9:27 says
yes.
It's appointed.
Unto men.
There's an appointment.
Right.
Every one of us will have it. That's one.
Die,
that's the one appointment that none of us will miss.
And then comes the judgment.
Yeah.
Wow.
But how about receiving Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And then you'll never have to come into judgment
never be
before
judged.
God. Isn't that amazing?
Right, because right, he was judged in our place.
Amen.
That's what the gospel is, good news. That's why we're going to have a harvest weekend. Yes, we're going out at
1 o'clock this afternoon.
This afternoon, then tomorrow morning again. From 9 o'clock, we have the meeting in the morning, go out about 10. So everybody's welcome. If your church doesn't go, come with us.
Yeah.
We got one last call. Is there any time for that?
Sure. Susan is joining us from up in Boston.
Boston?
Susan, welcome to
Boston?
The Grace Hour. Are you there, Susan?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead. We only have less than a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say this is a great program, but don't give up. Don't give up on praying for people's souls. I have someone in my family who has locked her.
We hear the
okay.
radio in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you can turn
because
that down.
Because I have someone in my family who's locked themselves away in their apartment, doesn't want anything to do with anybody. And I have been praying for this person for 40 years, witnessed to them over and over. And I am convinced that I don't care who locks themselves away, what they do, Jesus walked through the walls when the disciples
good,
were
yeah.
hidden. And he made himself known, and he presented himself to Thomas. And nothing is too hard for God to reach a person's heart. And Pastor James DeDita said in Marlboro recently, we interrupt their lives with the gospel.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do over and over and over again.
Beautiful.
I love you guys. Thank you,
Susan.
Bye.
On that note, be reminded, friends, don't write anybody off, because God never does. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Join us again for our next live broadcast next Monday, and God willing, we'll be back with you then.